Totally forgot about it. All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you would, while I'm getting this on, to Genesis chapter 50. We're going to be in many different portions of Scripture this morning, but we'll find ourselves in Genesis chapter 50 and really on throughout chapter 37, 39, 42, and 45 of Genesis, and then we'll find ourselves as well in 1 Samuel, okay? And so that's where we'll be this morning, and we're good if you want to switch that.
Good, all right. So Genesis chapter 50 is where we'll start out real quick. I want to read a verse to you and then elaborate a little bit on what we're going to be talking about and finding in the Word of God this morning. And I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to us and an encouragement at the same time. But look with me in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Bible says this, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." We'll find ourselves in 1 Samuel in just a couple of minutes, and we'll find ourselves looking at the life of Joseph and the life of David this morning, and really seeing what the Lord has for us concerning those two men's lives, and really the example that we see in their lives from just a couple of verses. And so go with me real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'll just read these verses here. I want you to notice what's taking place and what the Word of God says about these couple of men here, and the impact they have today on our lives. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, there's so much in chapter 16 and 17 of 1 Samuel. I love reading these portions of Scripture. We've been going through on Wednesday evenings and talking about the life of David. But notice with me what the Bible says in verse 29 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. The Bible says this, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" A very familiar verse. Many of you know the story, you know the verse, you know and understand what's taking place. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, I'll read that one more time, just so you can have these verses on your mind. But the Bible says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." I want you to notice in verse 20 of chapter 50 of Genesis, "But God meant it unto good." When you cross over to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, there's a phrase that many of us say and many of us can quote, "Is there not a cause?" How many of you are familiar with HGTV? Yeah, I mean, we all are. I mean, especially women love that show. My wife watches HGTV all the time. If you were to walk into our house sometimes, it's glue. Every TV in the house, it's only two TVs, so both TVs in the house, she's got it on. Well, as I was sitting there on the couch the other day, and HGTV was on, and she was watching one of these shows, a commercial came on for a show called Love It or List It. How many of you have heard of Love It or List It? You've heard of it. All right. From what I could gather on the show, Love It or List It, this show, Love It or List It, they take a house that you're living in that is not the greatest in shape. They take it that you are living in it and you're wanting to get out of it. And there's one realtor who comes in and says, I can transform your house and make you love it again. And then there's another real estate agent who comes in and says, well, I'm going to find you your dream house. And so you have one real estate agent who's taking them and looking at houses, the other one who's working on their house and trying to make that person fall back in love with their home. As I was thinking about that phrase, love it or list it, and I wasn't paying much attention to the commercial as I was that phrase, love it or list it. I have found that oftentimes in Christians' lives, too often, we love certain things and we list certain things. And if we're not careful, we love the wrong things and start listing the things that God would have us to love. And we find in the life of Joseph and the life of David that they found themselves doing what God would have for them to do. Very simply, early on in David's life, he loved what God loved and hated what God hated. In Joseph's life, you see a man who is doing so much. He's had a rough start. He's had a rough life. You know that he started out in the pit. He went to Potiphar's house. He was in the palace. He was doing so much. And in every single thing, he was just trying to do what God had for him. And in chapter 50, verse 20, he says this phrase right here that just sticks out to me. "But God meant it unto good." You right now, myself, we all deal with issues in our lives where we find ourselves with the world pulling at us in certain areas and we love certain things that we try to get away from. And we list the wrong things. This morning, I would encourage every single one of us, list the things that are hurting you as a Christian and love the things that God would have for you to love. Every single one of us, if we're not careful, we'll start listing certain things that we don't want. As I began trying to apply that situation of that show, Love It or List It, I took the Christian's life as the one that you've just accepted Christ and you're growing. And those first 6 months to a year as a Christian, you just can't get enough of the Bible. You love it. And then you start getting into a routine and sometimes you slack off. And the Word of God and the preacher and the pastor and many people are investing in you and encouraging you to continue to grow. And it's as though as those people that are encouraging you to grow are those people that are investing in you and saying, I can make you love what you once loved once again. But all along, you have a world who is the real estate agent on the other side who is trying to show you things that would appeal to you more. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the mark. If you're not careful, you'll start listing things that you would not once have listed. If you're not careful, one standard that you might have held as a family, you might have listed because you just were tired of holding that standard. If you're not careful, that decision that you made to read your Bible might be something that you slack off, and one thing that you loved at one time, you start listing it for sale. I had the opportunity to come to Brother Dale's, Christmas party. It's a little early. His birthday party, if you go to their house from when I'm gathering, it's like a Christmas party all the time. But we were at their birthday party yesterday. We walked in here and there was a video that was being shown. And on that video, there were teenagers that he had an influence on, him and Miss Stephanie, in the past. And looking at those teenagers that were talking, I'm sure Brother Dale, at some point, every single one of us battle it, but you just get wore out. But in those teenagers' testimonies, which are all grown people, grown adults now, they were all saying, thank you basically for sticking with it. Thank you for your influence. Thank you for your impact. Thank you for all that you invested. And if we're not careful, the lives that we're investing in right now, the things that we love and we're doing for the Lord, we should be loving those things. And though the world is pulling at you and trying to distract you, don't listen. Invest more in your Christian life today than you did tomorrow. Or yesterday. And just continue doing that. We're going to look at some things in the life of Joseph, in the life of David, that you're going to say, well, how do you understand this? Where are you pulling this from? Notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter 17. One more time, verse 29, the Bible says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? We'll come back to the life of David here in a couple minutes. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis, and we'll find ourselves in Genesis chapter 37 right now. And we're going to look at some things in the life of Joseph that will help us to understand that he had the opportunity to list some things. But very simply, he kept with what God had for him. And he loved what God loved. Go with me to Genesis chapter 37, verse 21 through 29. We see the life of Joseph starting out. Starts out a little rough. The Bible says, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then they passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. Let's pray before we go any further. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. I pray that you would help us all this morning as we find ourselves drawing some different applications from the life of David and the life of Joseph. Lord, both men that we can look at and see Christ. And, Lord, the example that you are, and, Lord, that you would have for us to live a certain way and do things a certain way. Lord, as we take this idea of loving it and listing it, and, Lord, what we ought to do with certain things in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, that you would guide us and direct us in all these areas. Lord, that you would comfort us right now. Lord, be with those who are sick and not able to be here. Lord, be with those who are out of town and traveling. Lord, keep them safe, help them, and guide them. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. Be with myself as I preach. Empty me of self. Empty me of sin and fill me with the Spirit. We'll thank you for that as well. Lord, I pray that you would be honored, glorified, and pleased with everything that's said and done. In the Lord's name, amen. The very beginning of the life of Joseph, you see some things in chapters 37 of basically what's taking place. His brothers sell him, and he's in this pit, and you start to see what's about to take place. And so go with me now to chapter 39 of Genesis. We're going to try to really go quickly into the book of Genesis. We're not going to really touch on it much. I just want to read these verses so that you can be aware of what's taking place and so that you can kind of be caught up if you are unfamiliar with this. In chapter 39 of Genesis, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt in Potiphar, and an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him into the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Now, here in a minute, we're going to see something that is going to be the very first evidence of something that Joseph himself could have sold. He could have said, "You know what, I'm going to list this because I don't want to do any more." But he knew that it was not what God would have for him. And so here in a minute, you're going to understand what we're going through and understanding about these two men. Verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." I want you to notice that phrase because we're going to come back to that as well. The Lord was with Joseph. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Samuel as well about David that the Lord was with David. And there were people that noticed this. Verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of the master, his Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hands. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he fell, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I want you to notice as we come down to verses 7, 8, and 9, in verse 8 it starts out, "But he refused." There are some things that we're going to notice about these men in their lives. I want you to notice the first thing about them and why they did not list it, what the importance of them not listing their certain areas of their lives was. The first one is this: they realized God's ways. They realized God's ways. We're going to cross over to Isaiah chapter 55 here in a minute if you want to find yourself there. But notice with me in verses 7, 8, and 9, it says that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." In verse 8, "But he refused." Listen, that would have been a perfect opportunity for Joseph to say, "I'm going to list it. I'm going to list something. I'm going to list this area of my life. I'm going to list my testimony. I'm going to list because no one will find out." But I want you to notice something as we look at the life of Joseph. We'll be finding ourselves in David in just a couple minutes. In verse 2, the Bible says this, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him." I am so encouraged when I read about these men in the Bible and the Lord says, "The Lord was with him." But then it goes on to say, "And this person saw that the Lord was with him." You see, you may be living a life right now and you're saying, "You know what? No one takes notice of me. No one even knows I'm here. No one understands what I'm doing. No one understands what work I do. No one understands how hard I work. And, you know, no one pays me any attention." Listen, God pays you attention. God sees what you're doing. And if you're not careful, you'll get that mindset and you'll say, "You know what? I no longer love this." Because at one time you loved it because you were doing it for the Lord. But now you're doing it for man's approval, and now it's a time to discourage yourself and just list it. To list that effort. To list that opportunity. To list that duty that you have. And so in verse 2 of chapter 39, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." In verse 3 it says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." Love it or list it, Joseph, but he refused. Is there something in your life and you're talking about, we're talking about realizing God's way in your life? Go with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, this is something that will encourage every single one of us about God's way. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we ask the question, why, Lord? And we say, Lord, what does all this mean? Well, in Isaiah 55, verse 8, the Bible says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We were talking about this at the Thanksgiving fellowship on Tuesday, the pie and praise, or whatever we want to call it. And we were having a conversation, and people were sharing testimonies. And somehow or another, this came up, and if you could just think with yourself right now, if God were to reveal everything that He had for you in your life right now, yeah, I know for myself, if the Lord were to say, you know what, let's back up 3 or 4 years ago, and the Lord would say, you know what, I'm going to have you pastoring this church at this time, you know, in this area. Well, there's a pretty good chance I would have said, Lord, I don't want to pastor at that age. I don't want to pastor at this church. I don't want to pastor in this city. I don't want to pastor here. And I would have run the opposite way. And so if you were to think and you were to say, you know what, Lord, I just want to know what's going to happen. Well, He will reveal it in His time. God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes we get ahead of the Lord and we say, Lord, what's taking place? Well, listen, in Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 3, the master saw the Lord was with him. In verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused." But go on in verse 9, the Bible says this, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin?" Not against his master. Not against the guy who's in charge of him. He says against who? Against God. He says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? If we're not careful, we were talking about it last week, we were talking about our Sunday school, everything begins with God. Every decision you make ought to begin with God. Lord, what would you have for me to do? Lord, where would you have for me to go? Lord, how would you have for me to handle this situation? Your day began with God because He allowed you to breathe. Your day began when you were driving to church because He allowed you to arrive here safely. Your day begins with God, and every decision that we all make must begin with God. Listen, Joseph here, he goes on and he says, and he makes this statement, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's beginning with God. He's saying, listen, I can't sin against my Lord. He says, listen, I love God, and so I'm not going to list my testimony. Very simply, I've heard it put this way. He left his coat and kept his character. I've heard it put that way. He said, you know what? Because it goes on, and in verse 10 and on down, you'll see that. But he kept his character. And sometimes, listen, not sometimes, every time, keep your character. Listen, don't ever list your testimony. Don't ever list your life for this world and say, you know what? This has more to offer me. God has everything you ever need. And we have to get that understanding and understand that about this. And so now go with me, if you would, to chapter 42 of Genesis. We're just looking at the life of Joseph currently. We're going to find ourselves looking at both of their lives after the message is done. And both of them, there are some things that we can take that really connect hand in hand. They go right together. You're looking at Joseph right now. He realized God's ways were better. He realized God's ways were higher. He understood that the Lord had something for him. In chapter 42, look with me in verses 6 on down to verse 9. The Bible says, "And Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, Ye are spies. To seek the nakedness of the land, ye are come." You go on and you continue reading in chapter 42. Go with me real quick to chapter 45 of Genesis. You understand the story, so we're not going to cover the entire basis. I'm just trying to give you some verses here. But in verses 13 on down in chapter 45, you see some things that are taking place. Look with me in verse 13. The Bible says this, "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. You remember the part where he sees his father for the first time and they greet each other. And so you're understanding in Joseph's life all that he went through. Everything that he went through. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Bible says this. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Every single one of us will battle tough times. Every single one of us will go through trials. Every single one of us will be on the mountaintop. And it'll seem as though nothing could go wrong. Every single one of us, if we're not careful, will find ourselves in a situation. And something that we have to understand is that God means it unto good. Listen, we have to realize God's ways are higher than ours. Not only that, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Something about Joseph and also about David is that they realize God's working. God's working. God is always working. Behind the scenes, even when we're thinking, you know what, nothing's going to take place, and then all of a sudden God works. Romans chapter 8, a familiar verse here in verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Many people claim this verse. I was actually reading the testimony the other day of a girl that I know. I know her personally. She is engaged to a guy that I played on the basketball team with at Crown. And about 2 years ago, I guess, a little over 2 years ago now, she was in a vehicle, and she was taking her normal road onto her house. She was just a normal evening driving home. And if you were to see the vehicle that she was in, and you were to see it now, you would have said, how did she live through that? And she was sharing her testimony, and there were some things that she said that really just opened my eyes. And she took it from a perspective, and she said, it basically, instead of looking at that wreck and that situation from a negative perspective, she looked at that wreck and took it from a positive perspective. And some of the things that she said, that night that could be so dark has basically been a light in my life, because it allowed me to realize that every single day from God is a gift. And she began to go on and talk about each injury and everything that she had been through and all the difficulties and the 365 days or more that she had to wake up and battle the struggle of getting up. She had fractured her elbow and had stitches and plates and everything. She had been in a neck brace for the longest of time, and she went back and was just looking at that and praising God. And you say, how is that possible? How is it possible, as a Christian, sometimes we even ask that, how is it possible to look at something like that and be able to take nothing but positive from it? Because there's a peace. There's just something about God working and using certain situations. I remember Miss Kelly's good friend, Carla Bullington. Many of you have met her. Carla Bullington, I guess 4 or 5 years ago now, she was in the hospital on Christmas Day, and they had to do an emergency surgery on her brain and cut a portion of her skull out to take it off, and to basically, there's an infection on her brain and she could have died. And so all throughout Christmas and everything, she was basically paralyzed and couldn't do anything. She was just in the hospital. And she's able to, I guess, I can't remember when it was, maybe a year or so later, she was able to come back and attend Crown College. And she has a testimony that people just want to hear. And you look at that situation, and when she was in that hospital, and her parents are right there next to her, and they're saying, she may not live. But God had His hand on her, and she lived. And now she's able to share a testimony. You look at that, and if you were to ask her, she wouldn't say, you know what, I just wouldn't do that again. Because God got all the glory, and He made Himself known. And so you think about Jonathan, you think about David, their relationship, you think about Joseph and how the Lord is using him here in this situation. In all of our lives, I would encourage every single one of us, love the things of God and never list them. Listen, don't list them. Don't sell yourself short. It's like the pictures you see of people that are digging or whatever, and they're like right here from basically breaking through the wall, and there's someone coming behind them and about to break through or something. And they just quit, and they're walking back. You think about those things. God has a plan for every single one of us. Not only did these two people, and we're going to look at David here in a minute, they realized God's ways. They realized God's work. Go with me and help me to understand this as well. Go with me to 1 Samuel. This is something that I was so encouraged about. It's something that many of us battle, and that is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Go with me. Many of us want God to work so fast. And we want Him to work quickly. But something about our Lord is that He doesn't always work quickly. He works thoroughly. And He chips. He keeps chipping until He gets you where you want to be. He keeps getting you to the place where He says, you know what? You need to be a better Christian here. You need to do this. You need to do that. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29, the Bible says, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" We could talk about that phrase, is there not a cause? You look at this portion of Scripture and you see what's taking place in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Later on down in these verses, these men, his brothers, start to mock him. Go with me to verse 26. The Bible says, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so it shall be done that the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down, for thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" When you look at these verses here, you see what's taking place. And not only do you see that David here realizes God's ways, he realizes that God would not have for a Christian to just stand by and let someone defy his God. He understands that God's working all along, because later on in chapter 17, you see some of the things that he's saying. He says in verse 37, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and be the Lord be with thee." He goes on in verse 45, he says later on, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." He didn't say he comes to him in his own strength. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to take you out." He says, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day," verse 46, "will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, he says this, "For the battle is the Lord's." And in verse 50, it says this, "So David prevailed." So David prevailed. All that confidence in God. But if you go back, and when his brothers are saying these things in verse 28, when he says this, "Why camest thou down hither?" And he starts to discourage them, and you can tell the upset brother is angry, and you can see all this. If David would have said, "You know what? You're right. You're right. I'm just gonna let you guys handle it. I'm not even gonna fool with it. You know what? I would love to do this, but I'm just gonna list it. I'm just gonna let this go. It'll be taken care of." No. David says this, "Is there not a cause?" Listen, too many Christians in our day now are finding ourselves where somebody says something and we get so discouraged because someone of the world has said something. Well, listen, they don't serve the same God that we serve. That's why they're so bitter. There's a joy on your life, and people get so frustrated because they don't have the same joy that you have. Don't let someone discourage you from doing what God has for you. Listen, don't find yourself loving something so much and then one comment makes you listen. And you say, "You know what, I'm just not going to go any further." Because God has something for every single one of us. David realized God's ways. He realized God's work. But I want us to all understand this. Both of these men realized God's will. They realized God's will. If you think about Joseph was better off in Egypt in the care of God than he was among his brethren who despised and envied him. You think about their life. You think about these phrases about their lives. You see in verse chapter 17 what's taking place, but go with me to chapter 18 one more time. In Joseph's life, some things were said about him. They said the Lord was with him, and his master saw the Lord was with him. In 1 Samuel 18, the Bible says this in verse 12, "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and he was departed from Saul." Verse 14, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." Verse 28, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David." People notice those things. Listen, if you're a parent, your children notice when you're living for God and when you're not living for God. Listen, as a Christian, those co-workers know when you're living for God and when you're not living for God. Those friends that you hang around realize when you're living for God and when you're not living for God. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself loving the wrong things and listening the wrong things. You'll say, you know what, I don't need my testimony. I don't need this situation. I don't need to take care of my mouth. I don't need to watch what I let my eyes see. I don't need to watch what I let my ears hear. And you start doing that and a little bit further and a little bit further. But Joseph and David, both of these men, the Bible says that the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them because they realized, number one, God's ways are higher than our ways. David, I can tell you this, David probably didn't imagine that he would be a king. When he was working in the field, he probably didn't realize that, hey, Samuel's going to come find me and anoint me as the next king. He probably didn't realize that, and he probably would have never even wanted that. He probably didn't really want to fight David, but he knew he had to. Goliath. Joseph, he probably didn't want to find himself in the pit. Joseph probably didn't want to find himself in prison. Joseph probably didn't realize that he was going to be in the palace. But in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Bible helps us to understand about this man by the name of Joseph. God meant it unto good. Because he understood God's ways are higher than his ways. He understood God works at all times. And you look at Joseph's life and you can see God working. You know how I know God was working? Because the Bible says God was with Joseph. And God was with David. And if we're not careful as Christians, we get discouraged and we say, you know what, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I can continue going on this path. Even though you're living the right path, keep doing it. Because when you say, I just don't know, God knows he can take care of you. And something as a Christian we have to take hope in is that he can take care of us. The Bible says in verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. All that God allowed Joseph to go through, he had to. You think about everything that he went through for his brothers. Later on, he's able to say these things. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Each one of us are battling certain things in our lives. Maybe you're battling whether or not you can continue living the right way at work. Maybe you are around a group of people and your testimony is just hard to keep. Maybe when you go to family, it's hard to have the right kind of mouth, or when you find yourself doing things you would say, you know what, I don't really want to do this, but I find myself doing it. Listen, don't list it. Don't list your testimony. Your testimony is such a strong thing. And I know people who have gone through things and have battled situations and have gone through much. And when they look back, they say, I'm so glad I didn't listen. I'm so glad I didn't cave in. I'm so glad I didn't give in. There are so many people right now that are going through issues, that are battling situations that are such as sin. And they're saying, I wish I could just get out. I wish I could just stop. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself like them. Because when it all started is when they said, you know what, I'm going to listen. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm just going to listen. You look at Joseph's life and you see that he says God meant it unto good. How can a man that found himself in prison, that found himself in the pit, that found himself being accused of certain things? Because he knew God was with him. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's working at all times. And God's will, it may not be what you understand right now. You may be trying to figure out what God's will is for your life or this situation. But understand, God is with you. And he's got his hand on you.